Nicole in studio with us, and we are going to be talking all things with regards to hypnosis. Welcome in studio, Petra.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks so much for having me here.
It's an absolute pleasure. And it was so coincidental. I had been speaking to someone about you, and you literally walked past the studio the day that I was trying to get your number. And so that was just, it just shows that it was meant to be. So I'm so glad that you've come into studio. Petra, you're a new face in Hoedspruit, but you're not a new face when it comes to hypnosis. But before we go into that, can you give us a bit of a background about where you grew up, where you went to school, and where you studied after that? Just a bit of a breakdown about you.
Sure. A very varied background. I grew up in Zim. And
all the great people come from
exactly. moved to Swaziland, and while we were in Swaziland, I went to boarding school in Pietermaritzburg in KZN, and that's where I spent the rest of my schooling years. After that, I just lived in Durban. I qualified to work on ambulances. That was my big thing. My big draw was always
to paramedic. That's lovely. Yeah.
So I'm just a basic life support paramedic, or basic life support medic, which is the HPCSA accreditation that you mentioned. It's actually not for the hypnosis. It's specifically for a BAA. Okay. It's quite important that I put that across as well.
Yeah.
And worked on ambulances for a couple of years and loved it, absolutely loved it, and eventually started up my own first aid training company, which...
All in Durban still?
All based just outside Durban, yeah. Yes, near Hillcrest. And that was going since 1995. And eventually I realised my calling was a little more towards the holistic side of things. So still helping people, but I qualified as a Reiki master, and then... That also wasn't quite doing it for me, and I eventually was drawn into hypnosis and hypnotherapy. And that's been my journey since about 2010, and there's actually a little story around that, how I actually became involved in hypnosis.
Well, you've got to tell us the story. You can't come and tease us. Please enlighten us.
So essentially, my son was in grade one, and I was informed after the first two terms of school that he had been kept aside while the other kids were allowed to go and sit on the carpet and listen to stories. And because he was so easily sidetracked and distracted, he was made to sit up at his desk and to try and finish his work. I was quite upset, to say the least. Mm. And I was told, well, he needs to go into medication. That's it. So I had him assessed. He was bordering on gifted. He was bored, essentially. And yes, if you would like to put a label, ADD, labels, I don't believe in labels. I don't like them. There's another day, a story for another day, yeah, around labels. But I decided that I'd like to approach it a different way. And that was when I immediately, literally the next week, I started studying hypnotherapy and hypnosis. And before I was even qualified, I worked with him all through the June, July holidays. It was the year that we had the World Cup here, so yes, there was an extended holiday.
Poor mothers.
Exactly. So my poor child was subjected to essentially, it was visualizations, mindfulness, that type of thing that I worked with every single day with him throughout that holiday. When he went back to school, I was called in about 2 weeks after he'd got back, and I was told, it's fantastic, I'm so pleased he's on the medication. And I said, no, he's still on the Biostrat that he was on before, and the Omegas, and that's it. And that was the beginning of everything. So that was my motivation. And he hasn't looked back. He would come back from boarding school. When he eventually went to boarding school, which was his choice, he would come back with shopping lists. I need to cover this, and I need to make sure this happens, and can you work with me with this and that? And for one who couldn't focus, he's now filming lions in Botswana, in the Kalahari, and he's got the patience of a saint. He's unreal.
Yes. So it just goes to show it started from a very personal journey, but it's turned into something that you've really, really loved doing.
Absolutely, it has. And with working with him as one of my first victims, first clients, I've got an incredible affinity for working with children and with teenagers. Mm. and I really enjoy that, gaining their trust. Yes. And working with them with different issues. So that's all come from that.
And so if we go back to who you work with, the type of patients that you like to see, it's clearly it's all ages.
Yes.
For yourself.
It is. I would say from the age of about 4, that would be in person, because yeah. I do a lot of hypnotherapy online as well, but for children in person,
yeah,
very much so. But yes, from about 4 years old upwards, depending on what we're dealing with, yeah. obviously.
And I mean, obviously, you know what, in all different careers, depending what career one takes, there's always a bit of skepticism that's always that it creeps its ugly head at the end of the day. But Petra, I know that you've got a couple of just standard Q&A questions that I'd like to speak to you about.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people, this is a lovely booklet that your card that you give out is very informative. I will have some here at studio, and if ever you walk past and you want to pick up a pamphlet, you can come in and pick it up. It's really lovely. But before we go into what it can assist, it says, can everyone be hypnotized?
So yes, essentially most people can. The people who possibly can't be hypnotized are the clinically insane, right? And first of all, let me just retract, go back a little bit here. Essentially, what is hypnosis? Because
yeah.
that will help you understand why most people can be hypnotized. It's not against your will. This is not stage hypnosis. This is therapeutic hypnosis,
yeah.
which is done with your full consent. If you are a controlling person, you like to be in control, you don't like handing control over, you actually make one of the best candidates for hypnosis, because the secret behind hypnosis and hypnotherapy is that you're in control and I'm simply your guide. And if I ask you to imagine seeing a blue door and you see a green gate, you go with your green gate.
Yeah.
I cannot get PIN codes from you. I cannot
yes, of course.
Anything like that, because you are fully aware of what I'm
yes,
doing
yes.
at all times. And even if you're in a really deep trance state and I ask you for something like PIN codes, etc., you would be able to sit up immediately and say, whoa, hold on, that's
yeah.
not why I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to go back to those who cannot be hypnotized, even a person who is deaf, who cannot hear my voice, because it's not look into my eyes,
yeah.
it's actually my voice, and even a person who is deaf can be hypnotized. It's a different process. Even though they can't hear my voice, we can still make progress.
That's interesting.
Yes.
That's wonderful. And just going to cover a few more questions here. Obviously, you did mention it. Can I be made to say or do anything against my will whilst I am in hypnosis?
And definitely not. You know, you can actually lie in hypnosis, which is why hypnosis cannot be used in court. In other words, you have full control over anything that you say in hypnosis. So it's not about delving into the deepest, darkest secrets of your mind or anything like that.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's going to be exposed without your full permission.
Yeah.
And by exposed, I just mean just discussed between
yes,
us.
Yes.
Because obviously there's 100% confidentiality. That's very important as well. In order to nurture a safe, yeah. safe environment.
Of course, of course. And you want that person to feel the trust in your relationship more than anything
Absolutely.
Else. Another question here, will I be aware of what is happening or being said whilst I am in a hypnotic state?
So yes, the bulk of the time you will be. Sometimes you allow yourself to just drift into, when you feel safe enough, you drift into an even deeper state, which is just such a beautiful, relaxed state.
Mm.
And you don't have any concept of time during that state either, which is just, it's beautiful, a dreamlike state. And your subconscious is still going to hear everything that I say. Your conscious mind may have taken itself on a little holiday, but that is your choice.
Mm.
And usually anything that is said then is discussed beforehand,
yeah.
exactly what we're going to cover and how I'm going to approach it. What in a conscious state before we even go into a beautiful trance state.
Oh, I could definitely yeah. be hypnotized. I love I've been hypnotized before by a professional, and it was such a calming feeling for me.
It is,
and to be able to express stuff that may not always be very pleasant, but to have it come out in that way. Or through those communication levels, just makes it so much easier, you know.
It does.
So I 100% agree on hypnotherapy. What happens if I don't come out of a trance, or something happens to the hypnosis before I am brought out? So you fall over and
let's say I faint.
You faint, or
okay, which hopefully I never have yet. let's say I faint and I'm out of the picture, and I've got you into this beautiful, relaxed, focused state. All that will happen is when you eventually sort of realize, hang on, I'm not hearing the voice anymore, what will happen is you'll kind of just drift into a bit of a sleep-like state, and then you'll just open your eyes. You'll be fully alert, fully awake, and hopefully put me in the recovery position on the floor.
Then not to forget. Do not forget Petra on the floor.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's not like that person's going to be in a state of trance for the rest of their life.
No. You know, you have your movies where these things happen, and no, definitely not.
Unfortunately not. So, sorry, my love, my husband. No. Continuous state trance for you. I beg your pardon. What happens if I don't come out of a trance? Okay, we've done that one. Will I be able to drive afterwards?
100%. Okay. Definitely. You can drive. You can do whatever you need to do for the rest of your day. I do suggest that you are able to take half an hour or so at least to just be afterwards. You know, obviously, if I've got a client and then I'm finished at the end of that session, I'm going to leave where I am, or the client will leave, or however that works, wherever we are, and I will have another client, so I'll move on.
Yeah.
However, for yourself, having been through the session, depending entirely on what you're dealing with, maybe you are dealing with trauma, and we've been looking at resolving some of the trauma, or perhaps you just have had a beautiful release of a whole lot of things. To have that time to just be, whether you want to sit and have a cup of tea, whether you want to have a cold drink, and just be before you go into your bustling, busy world again.
Just give yourself some time.
That's it.
To recover.
But there's no reason why. It's just about processing, really. You can literally go straight back into work or anything you need to.
Perfect. When I'm in hypnosis, am I unconscious?
No, you're definitely not unconscious. You are in a beautiful, focused state. So your body is relaxed, perfectly relaxed. Sometimes you kind of lose the sensation of your body as well. And your mind is just in a really focused state. So if you can imagine that you're daydreaming. We've all daydreamed.
Yes.
So when you daydream, you kind of focus on a spot in front of you. You've got your peripheral, your side vision here, so you can see what's happening. You can hear things that are happening, but you're just in this beautiful focused state. And whatever you're focusing on, whatever it may be, whether it's remembering things or whatever it is, but in hypnosis, we are in a focused state in order to address the concerns that you've actually come to see me about.
Okay, so that's wonderful. So that's just some of the little questions and myths that people wanted to cover. And another one that I wanted to ask you is, you know, it's obviously confidential, and that's what if someone came and told you something criminal?
Okay, so that's a very valid point. Okay, so let's say somebody has committed a murder.
Yes, and they've only
through hypnosis,
they've come to acknowledge this.
They would talk to me in a conscious state first. So there's always a talk beforehand, and that's where we talk about what they're addressing. So if they are a potential harm to themselves or someone else, that is the one time that we'd discuss together, okay, we need to take this further. How are we going to do this? And yes, that would obviously, that's a different case altogether. But your average everything, you know, I've been unfaithful to my husband, or yes. I've done this, or I've done that, is not my problem, other than dealing with it with you.
Yes, it's not for you to dull the
absolutely to not. And else. You know, with Hoedspruit, it's a small town.
Yeah,
many people know many other people, so for someone to trust someone is a big deal, and yes. you've got to earn that trust.
Yes, I agree with
and
you.
And that I've done over the last. What, 14 years
that is that how long this. You've been here?
No.
When did you get here?
About a year ago.
Okay.
We were renting just over the road from where we've built on actually at Leopard Rock out
okay.
by Nika.
Yeah.
Yes. So we were building for just under a year, and we've just been in a few months now. So I finally
congratulations,
decided.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're incredibly happy here. It's the most
wonderful,
beautiful town here.
Wonderful.
It really is.
And it's time for you to start now and to start your business.
That's it.
And do you consult to people's homes, or do they come to you? What is the best way?
So the best is that I come into Hoedspruit,
okay.
Or wherever the client is. I do. Right now, and what I have been doing throughout my build, I've been doing about 98% of my clients I see online, which is an option for anyone here as well, or I can consult in the privacy of their own home, and that is generally a safe space for yeah. them. If it's not a safe space, and that is part of the reason why we are meeting, I will make another plan, and we will meet elsewhere.
Find another spot.
Correct.
Yes.
So currently, I don't have rooms at the moment. I'm still feeling my way in Hoedspruit.
Yeah.
And once my face-to-face practice picks up properly here, then I'll probably look at rooms in Hoedspruit itself.
Absolutely. I think it'll be a big need for it. I think it'll be a wonderful addition
so.
To Hoedspruit.
That's
and,
right.
And Pietra, talking about what issues you deal with, can you give us a sort of an overview of what hypnosis can assist with?
Sure. So, honestly, the list is endless, but the types of things I've dealt with, obviously, your normal things, your stop smoking, and chronic pain is another one, focus and concentration, if you use that label that I don't like, the ADD side of things, and that, particularly in older children and teens, I work really, really well with that. Abuse, really important, either past abuse, current abuse, physical, sexual, whatever it may be. Nail biting. Another good one is sports performance. That also goes really, really well. And then one that I love, which is forensics. I just enjoy the forensics. So age regression and that sort of thing. So your conscious mind.
What does that entail?
Okay, if I can just explain, the conscious mind is your analytical, critical, reasoning, argumentative mind. That is the mind that decides yes, no, whatever. Okay, it's got a bulldust filter, which stops the rubbish going through to the subconscious mind. Subconscious mind is like an obedient child. It likes to be liked. It likes simple language. It responds really well to metaphors. It's literally the obedient child. So it's got to have that filter, because if it's fed nonsense, then it will believe it.
Yeah.
It's very gullible, very naive. So with hypnosis, what we do is we kind of slow that filter down. If you can imagine that filter is like a ceiling fan, and if I want to drop a suggestion through the blades of that ceiling fan to the subconscious mind, with the blades of the fan moving quite fast, which is what yours and mine are doing right now, the blades of the fan will kick my suggestion out, and because the conscious mind is saying, so you're wearing an orange top at the moment. If I said to you, your top was red, what is your response?
No, it's orange.
You kick my suggestion out, okay.
Yeah.
But if I want, for whatever reason, therapeutic reason, your subconscious mind must believe that it's an orange shirt. I need to get you into a really relaxed, focused state so that the blades of that fan slow right down. And as they're going really slowly, I can drop my suggestion in between the blades of the fan straight to the subconscious mind. So in other words, I'm diving straight in and dealing with the subconscious. I'm bypassing the critical factor, which is the conscious mind. And because I do that, we can deal with so much at the root cause. When we go in there, that's my playground. but I play safely,
yeah,
and with your full permission of everything. Just to understand a little bit more about that subconscious, is your conscious mind works, this is how I like to explain it to clients, is your conscious mind works on a linear sort of thing. So it'll say, okay, when I was 8, this happened. When I was 10, this happened. So it works on a time frame like that. Your subconscious mind is like a spider web. It remembers an emotion that you would have felt when you had an experience at some time when you were younger. Say you were 6 years old, or maybe you were 15 years old, whatever it may be. Maybe there was a car crash that happened right in front of you, and you smelt the burning tires, and you heard the screech, and you heard the screams, and you heard all that stressful stuff. Your subconscious mind will register that as a near-death experience. And, you know, you move on, and you weren't affected other than shaken, you know, you weren't in it. And then suddenly you're walking along the road now at 38 years old, and this car comes to a screech next to you because it didn't, was just about to miss the stop street. And you can smell that burning rubber of the tire. And the subconscious mind grabs that sensation, that smelling and the sound, and it does a direct line straight back to that experience. And all of those emotions that you felt initially at that nasty experience come right back now, and it just throws it at you. So that is why we can have a smell of someone, perhaps a memory of someone that we used to date or whatever, yes, and you have that beautiful melancholy feeling because it takes you back to the emotions that you felt at that time. And that's how the subconscious works. It just kind of it leapfrogs to wherever it's got a connection, just like a little spider web. So that's how it works, which is brilliant.
And obviously that that can be for good memories or bad memories.
Absolutely, yes.
So that's, yes, what would, you know, what we someone is it possible that someone is has had an experience but they completely block it?
Yes, definitely.
So they put it away, exactly. They don't want to deal with it.
So that's where the age regression can come in. So first of all, we explore why do they need to know? Because if it's something that they're thinking something bad happened, do you want to relive it? Is there a real reason, or is it just curiosity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't like to regress to cause as our first port of call when we're trying to address why there's an issue in our lives now. Mm. Because you don't necessarily want to relive whatever has happened in the past.
If you have boxed it away and you've dealt with it in your head, it's not necessary to always bring back all those painful emotions.
No, not unless we try and there's a whole lot of techniques we'd use in the current, dealing with the present now. If those do not work, then as a last port of call, we'd regress to the cause and relive it. But you relive it as an observer.
Okay.
From a safe space.
Yeah.
Everything's about safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really important. So to answer your question is how we do the regressions, now that you understand how conscious and subconscious minds work with that, that's how we do them. We go back in the subconscious and we take you
and take
back to a previous time in your life.
And if we carry on talking with regards to what I found curious is that my daughter, she is 13 years old, and she loves sports. And but she is very, very hard on herself. She's very, very critical on herself. And you said you spoke about sports performance. Would that, something like that, assist a 14-year-old?
Yes. So first of all, you help them deal with failure. That's really important. So if they don't come first, if they don't, you know, if they don't do what they wanted to do, achieve what they wanted, we help them to deal with failure in turning it into a learning experience. It's the emotion that you feel because you failed, we put it down to, if you call it failed, you know, just failing to achieve what you wanted. We obviously know as parents it's not a failure, but in their mind it's a failure.
Yes, definitely.
And we turn that into a positive, as in, okay, what can we learn from it? Mm. How can we improve on it? How can we, and we analyze it and break it up and turn it into a positive learning experience and help them look forward to the next time. So with regards to sports performance as well, it's also about your professional athletes, how to enhance their own abilities as well. which is actually quite interesting because there's a lot of sports that I know nothing about. So if they approach me and they say, I'm a boxer or I'm a heavyweight lifter, my gosh, before the session, I have to research it.
So that
because
you
I've got to be a face so that I can, you know, I can actually help them to the best of my ability.
Okay, and I mean, I do like the different symptoms, as one would call them, that you would cover, and reducing alcohol usage. You know, I want to say again, I cannot for the life of me remember what his name was, the hypnotherapist I went to. I went to him a few times, and my husband went to him a few times. And the one time I told you, I went because I was petrified of the dark, very scared. And I just had my daughter, and I was so paranoid that someone would break in. Mm. And I would lie awake for eventually till I couldn't anymore, and then to fall asleep.
Exhausted.
Because I was so exhausted, and my husband would go and open all the windows in the evening. We had burglar bars, alarms, dogs, and he just said, you know, open a room, keep a room open, a window open, so for some fresh air. Then I'd wait for him to fall asleep. I would go to all the windows with a pair of pliers and close them. And that's how paranoid it became so bad. And eventually I thought, I've got to speak to somebody, you know. And this is not a prescription thing.
Mm. No, it's not.
You've got to go and speak to someone. And he helped me to recognize a lot of stuff. And but just to digress a little bit, the other thing that I asked him to help me was to say stop at two glasses of wine.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not talking about these huge... I'm not talking about a bottle.
A goblet.
I'm talking about just getting to a stage where I can say, I'm at home. I don't need to drink a whole bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. I can have just two glasses of wine and then off to bed I go. And when I, at that time, when living in Joburg, we were in corporate environments. You needed to have good sleep. You had a baby you take into to creche. And it worked.
It does.
I promise you, it worked. Obviously, I haven't done it for a long time, and you've got exercises that you've got to do. But I'll tell you what, it worked.
Mm. It definitely does.
Worked.
So it depends on the person who approaches me. For some people, you can say, okay, what are you wanting? Oh, I just want two glasses. Okay, great. We'll work with that. But there are some people where it's a case of you've either got to say no to anything, you know, to anything alcoholic, or you're back on alcohol. So it depends on the person. It depends what their triggers are.
Yeah.
That's why everything is very, very client-centered. There's no one fix does
yeah,
all.
Yeah, one pull, you know, for everything.
No, definitely not. Yeah. No. And if ever I'm in a situation where I have someone who is seeing me and I think to myself, you know what, this is beyond what I can do, or we get to sort of three sessions and by that stage I realize, you know what, we are definitely not making any progress, which I could probably count on one hand how many times that's happened, less than a hand over all the years. But I am very comfortable with referring to someone with, you know, with the consent of the client as well. That's really important. The other thing I'd like to just add is that, very important, I am not a psychologist and I am not a psychiatrist. Okay, I am definitely not. I am purely a hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
I work very intuitively in my sessions, which helps to make them also very, very effective and very, very client-centered. So that's just important as well. For
yes, absolutely. So you're not going to walk away with Xanax and sleeping tablets and Valiums. Not from this one. Sorry, ladies. You'll have to go and check someone else out.
And another thing on that as well is I will never ask anyone to stop their medication.
Okay.
It's very important. In fact, on the client intake form that they fill in, it actually says, I will not ask you to stop any medication. And if you get to the stage where your symptoms are improving, you need to consult with a medical professional who prescribed that medication for you.
Yeah.
if you're looking at reducing or anything like that. Yeah. That's really important. Yeah. So.
No, absolutely. You've made it clear, and your stances, in terms of you are responsible for your own medication, and you take responsibility for taking your medication at the end of the day. And just to carry on a few more of these issues, bedwetting, nail biting, coping with HIV/AIDS, and once again, that's just how you're coping mechanisms. Correct. It's not medication, it's not you're not distributing anything, it's just how you yourself, your emotions cope with having that status. And obviously anger, rage, I like this one, chocolate addiction.
Reducing
chocolate addiction. And you know, that is an addiction, I promise you. I'm not a chocolate addiction, but I've got a friend of mine that she has a pure chocolate addiction. Mm. She hides it everywhere. I'm talking like the strangest places, she's got chocolate in her handbags, in her toiletries.
But it'll melt.
No, exactly. No, you'll be surprised.
Often as well, if you look at that, very often the chocolate addiction is actually to do about control, as in I don't have control, and weight gain as well.
Yeah.
I don't have control over so many aspects of my life. This is one aspect I can control, even though I'm sort of cutting my nose off to spite my face here. It's subconsciously, it's one aspect that I can control.
Yeah.
You don't consciously think of it that way.
No,
you just have this urge that that's it. So if I go back to that, me saying that your shirt is red, if in the session, if I said to you during your trance state, if I said, by the way, the shirt you're wearing is red today, what would happen is your conscious mind will be saying, once you come out of trance state, your conscious mind will see your reflection as orange, and your subconscious will come in and say, no, it's red. And now we've got a problem, because you're going to be holding two conflicting emotions at the same time. Mm. And you can't hold two conflicting emotions at the same time without causing a huge stress response in your body, which of course comes out as things like the chocolate, anger,
rage,
angry outbursts, whatever it may be. Yeah. So, but what will happen then is, because there was no repetition, the subconscious mind will be put back in its box by the conscious mind, and eventually it'll agree, okay, sorry, I was wrong, it's orange, you know. But if you take a smoker, for example, a smoker will say, okay, Monday morning, I'm stopping smoking.
Yeah.
That's it. And the subconscious says, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. And you come to Monday morning, and hello, you wake up, and you're like, that's it, I'm not smoking today. And then by tea time, you're sort of thinking, I really need the cigarette. And the conscious mind is saying, just have a little drag, just one little puff, you know. Mm-hmm. And the conscious mind saying, no, I can't. You're biting off everybody else's head around you, because you're holding two conflicting thoughts here.
Yeah.
One is saying, I'm a non-smoker. The other one's saying, oh, no, you're not. Okay. And as a result, you've got the stress response happening.
Yeah.
And eventually what generally happens is you give in, and, you know, and it's not successful. Whereas with hypnosis, what we do is we get the subconscious mind on side, so it understands all the reasons why your conscious mind wants to stop. It's smelly, it's expensive, it's, you know, whatever the words you use, I use those words. And then it just makes it a whole lot easier, because you now haven't got those conflicting thoughts.
You've got someone urging you.
Exactly. On. Yes. Yeah. Mm. And you're your own policeman.
Yeah.
During that process.
And sort of more or less, how many sessions would one need to do? Because it's not one fix all.
No.
You know, it's
one,
I understand it's
going to do.
Yes, because I know that I think I went once a week for about 2 months or so.
Okay.
So certain
things can be dealt with within a sort of 3-session period.
Yeah.
And that would be one session a week for 3 weeks. And we space it out roughly about a week apart.
Yes,
and
once a week.
And I give a recording to listen to in between sessions as well. And there are other things that are going to take longer. And if you come with a long shopping list,
Yeah, so I want to do this. Yes. When I have stop biting my nails, I want to get thin.
That's it.
Yeah.
So there's certain things that we can do at the same time. But if you actually want success, we've got to prioritize.
Yes, and focus on the individuals.
That's it. Yes, yeah. So some will take longer. I've got some clients that come to me just for a monthly mind massage.
Yeah.
You know, literally they just want to have a de-stress session, just forget the world for a minute and just go to their beautiful place. And, yeah, and they love it. And then I've got some that have worked with me and achieved what they've wanted. And then they've said, it's their choice. They've said, I want to come back regularly just to keep this up, you know. And then they will figure, oh, hang on, I've started doing this. Let me work with that and I'll bring it into the next session. Yeah. And then we work with it. And it just becomes second nature.
It's wonderful.
A beautiful way to do that and to deal with your stuff. And it brings about an incredible sense of mindfulness in your everyday life, which brings peace, which is really
absolutely
nice.
And it's like having food for thought, you know.
If
you've got direction in your life, and you've got a bit of a sense of direction in your life, it just makes things so much easier.
It does.
It's I think it's so stressful if you're not knowing what you're doing next.
Correct.
You know, it doesn't have to always be, you don't have to plan your life for years in advance, but surely just the next 24 hours is a good start.
It is.
You know?
It is. And knowing that you have the skills to actually get through, because it's very much not about what life brings to you, but it's about how do you respond to what life brings to you. And that's where we bring in all the skills.
Mm. And any other types of healing that you do for yourself or... do you encourage self-hypnosis? Can one do breathing exercises at home? Would you teach that a little bit?
Definitely.
So that people, for sleep, I know I also used to struggle with sleep, and he used to also take me into he gave me techniques to use to breathe and calm myself down and to clear my head so that I could fall asleep.
It's lovely. He did a very good job with you.
Yeah, because I'm actually fast asleep in studio.
You're just in auto mode at the moment.
Yeah, this is auto mode. It's not me talking.
But yes, that's part of the skills that we bring about, the tools. We basically want to give you a whole bunch of toolbox that are relevant to a whole bunch of tools in your toolbox that are relevant to you, and as I say, very client centered so it's very specific to the client that we're dealing with. And then also on that note, if you bring in religion to it, one of the first questions I always ask a client is, what are your spiritual beliefs? Because it's really important for me to be able to support that person's spiritual beliefs, whatever they may be. I will tell them mine, but I will never push mine.
Yeah.
Their beliefs are what are upheld throughout the session, and I will even bring it into the session as much as I can. So that's really important, again, from the safety side of things.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And Petra, we obviously all just want to have a rough idea of how long is the session, and is something like this can go through the medical aid or not, and what is the price involved, or would you people can just direct message you for that?
Sure. So the pricing just depends on what we're looking at dealing with. Okay. The time frame is your first session, generally speaking, your first session is up to an hour and a half, and any subsequent sessions are up to an hour. And so that's the time frame. And then from a pricing structure, it's better for them to contact me and just say, this is what I'm looking at addressing. What, you know, how can we work this out? Yes.
Perfect.
And then I'll have a look at what pricing structure will fit in for them, because it's also different for children.
Yes, of course.
Yes, because their sessions will be shorter.
Yeah.
Smaller children, obviously their attention span is a lot less.
And how can people get hold of you?
Okay, so I've got my website, which is www.serenity-hypnosis.net. Yep. And then my phone number, 082-477-9460. And then there's also Google.
Okay.
You can just Google Petra Consulting Hypnotist or Hypnotherapist, and I should come up.
Yes, I'm Petra sure Nicol. You are. Well, that is absolutely phenomenal. And I look so forward to, I personally am going to come and see you. And I definitely will bring my daughter to come and see you to before she goes to high school next year, to come and get herself sorted out for her sports and performance that she needs to embrace herself more, you know.
Lovely. Well, and I look forward to meeting her.
Yes, I definitely will. And I know that my husband would also love to come, because he 100% believes and has had this done as well. And if it's done through a profession, it's so useful. I cannot explain to you. So you'll definitely have us as patients.
That's wonderful.
I can definitely guarantee
the first
that.
The family.
We'll get a family discount.
You definitely will.
Yes.
I often get that. Hey? Yeah. Is that I'll help one member of a family and then someone else will come and someone else will come. And then they realize it's actually not that scary, because it really isn't scary. You're in an incredibly safe space and you're very supported in that space. So, yeah.
Well, we'll definitely be on your list. But it's lovely to have you in studio, Petra. And what we would like to do, and I was chatting to you very briefly, was I'd love to do a monthly chat. And we can diverse a little bit in what we recovered today, and maybe we can talk about some cases that we've gone through and how things have improved. And I would have no problem even talking about myself, you know. But no, I'm not going to do the two wine thing. That's not what I'm going for. I've accepted that fact. But I'd love to have you in studio once a month and just do a catch